So I want us to turn our attention to the things of God and think about the text that is before us. If you build on a faulty foundation, you can expect problems. That's probably common sense, right? Since I'm not much of a builder, as many of you know, I decided that I would quickly read up on what would happen if you built a home on a faulty foundation. And to my surprise, there were countless articles that appeared on my quick Google search. And all of them said similar things. They said, look, you may be able to live in a house with a faulty foundation for some time, but you are going to have lots of problems. And eventually those problems will develop into a very significant risk. Initially, you'll start seeing things like cracked walls, jammed doors and windows, uneven floors, and others mentioned mold and water damage as a result of a faulty foundation. These are signs of something worse that's to come. Now, obviously, it's not only in building homes that the foundation is important. Think about math, another subject I don't know much about. And think about why it's so important for kids to have a solid foundation in lower-level math before building on those rudimentary principles to get to advanced levels. Those who don't know their arithmetic will probably have problems with algebra, geometry, calculus, etc. The same is true about reading, right? Sports, we build on the fundamentals. The same is true in philosophy, history, theology. Anything that I've ever studied, if you don't have the foundation laid right, you will have problems. If there is something wrong with the foundation, everything built upon it has something fundamentally flawed. In fact, beloved, the same is true when it comes to the Christian faith. If you remember from last week, we were looking at what Paul was talking about to Titus. He was addressing some issues within the church in Crete. There were false teachers. They were adding to the gospel works of the law and what Paul called man-made additions. And they were turning, therefore, from the truth, which is the pure gospel, turning from the foundational, central, most fundamental truth of the gospel, which is that our salvation is in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. And beloved, even though we know that from the Reformation era, popularized, so to speak, the reality is that has always been the gospel. That has always been what the scriptures teach. And the false teaching in this area was leading to a wrong way of living, as every faulty foundation does. It was a wrong way of living that was built on gimmicks and games. Beloved, if the gospel is grace, a gift, and these people are saying that it has something to do with works and rituals, everything changes about that. Even if at times that lives that are built on these two foundations look similar from the outside, internally, we know they are vastly different, and those cracks in the walls will eventually appear. Most certainly, they always do. You can't have a wrong foundation and expect that things will go well. So if you remember, Titus was told to silence those false teachers because they were ruining the church. They were ruining families in the church. They were deceivers, and they were in it for shameful gain, for financial gain, destroying households, robbing Christians of the peace that Christ brings and the fruit that he produces. What they're teaching is leading people away from Christ instead of toward Christ. The question is, how is Titus supposed to silence these false teachers? Right? How are we to defend against building on a faulty foundation? Open with me to Titus chapter 2 this morning, Titus 2, and we're going to see how Paul instructs Titus in this regard. We're going to look at only two verses. Actually, to be honest, we're mainly going to look only at one verse. And you're thinking, that's got to be a shorter sermon, right? Well, we'll see. Okay. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Titus 2. Titus 2, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness." Now, if you just look at the verses that follow, so those that have your Bibles open, you can look at the verses that follow through verse 10, and you'll see that Paul's not just going to stop with the older men that he's going to talk to about how their lives ought to look, but he's going to talk about older women, he's going to talk to younger women, he's going to talk to the younger men as well. We're going to get to those in the coming weeks and think through all that Paul is trying to teach here. But Paul focuses on how, on what Titus is to teach leads to godly character, and what that godly character ought to look like. But first, before he gets to that, he wants to clear the path for Titus. How is Titus supposed to silence the false teachers? How are elders, if you remember from a few weeks back, how are elders supposed to muzzle false views? How are we to be sure that we're building on the right foundation? Beloved, there is only one way that Christianity advocates. Now, I want you to hear this loud and clear. There is only one way that Christianity advocates in fighting against false teaching. You see, coercion or force, those don't work in Christianity, though some have tried. They can't work. Because Christianity is all about the heart, isn't it? External compliance is not Christianity. Simple behavioral change is not what the gospel does, though the gospel certainly does change us and even our behavior. See, Paul understands that the gospel itself is the power of God to change lives from the inside out. And we're going to hear some testimonies that speak to this very issue. And so the first thing that Paul tells Titus is this, and you could put this in your notes, it's our first point. Sound teaching leads to healthy living. Sound teaching leads to healthy living. This is why Paul uses the language of persuasion in his letters and never the language of force. He speaks of gently correcting false views, never violently requiring someone to believe against their will, never manipulating them to believe something they don't. This is how we distinguish, by the way, between the truth and cults and false teaching. Note first, Paul wants to make clear to Titus that he is to be different than the false teachers pretty much in every single way. But you, verse 1 says, but you, literally in the original, ESV says, but as for you. That's a contrast from the way the others were doing things. They were teaching Jewish myths and commands of men, but you, Titus, here's what you have to do. Teach what accords with sound doctrine. Now, there's some really important observations that we have to make here. The first thing is this. The word translated, as you see there in the scriptures, teach, is actually a word in the original that simply means to speak. To speak. Speak what accords with sound doctrine. Now, that's important because it seems to me that this is a far more general exhortation to Titus than just teach. He's not only to teach what accords with sound doctrine, formally teaching, preaching, but he is also to speak it in other contexts. He is to be immersed in sound doctrine. It is to be on his lips at all times, in conversation, in encouragement, in rebuke, in formal teaching, in informal counseling, when he's at home, when he's away, when he's at work. Paul knows that the antidote for false teaching and wrong thinking is truth, sound doctrine, and we must speak it all the time. This reminds me of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Some of you are familiar, where the Israelites are commanded on how they're going to pass on this covenant faith to the next generation, to their children. And the Lord speaks, and he says, "These words I've commanded you today, they shall be on your heart." And then he says this, "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Imagine, beloved, if we wrote scripture on our garage. So every time we're driving in, right, we're seeing the scriptures. We're seeing the truth. That's what the author, that's what the Lord is saying in Deuteronomy 6. Now, why so much? Why is it when we rise, when we sit, when we lie down? Why is it this constant, diligent speaking of the word to each other? Why is it so important that we immerse our children in it? Well, back to Titus 2:1. There's something really important about the word translated sound here that we need to know. That word sound means and comes from a word that literally means healthy. Healthy teaching, healthy doctrine brings healthy living. Many of you are parents here. Loving parents want their children to eat healthy foods and learn healthy habits because they want their children to live long and healthy lives. Well, beloved, just as healthy foods are important for physical life, healthy teaching is foundational for spiritual life. Sound doctrine is healthy doctrine, meaning that it is true and it's healthy, and it promotes what is true and healthy. It is health-giving. Sound teaching leads to healthy living. Beloved, there's a reason why here at MABC we want to immerse you in the Word of God. There's a reason we want to teach closely to the Scriptures. There's a reason that we want you to know good theology as an undergirding for all of life. There's a reason that we want to together get the gospel right. Exercise all you want, but if you fill your body with junk food all the time, it will catch up to you. Don't ask how I know this. It's my testimony. The same is true spiritually, beloved. Exercise all you want. Do all the good works that you can imagine. Titus has a lot to say about good works, but if they are coming not as fruit of the gospel work that Christ has done in you, they will rot. They will rot. Are you being fed solid spiritual food? Are you sitting under biblical preaching? Are you regularly partaking in the sacraments? And we will partake today as a picture of the gospel. Are you immersing yourself in the promises of God? That's what Titus even started his greeting with in chapter 1, verses 1 and on. But to understand healthy doctrine, we need to see what it is not. Paul, in other letters, writes about the same thing, sound doctrine as well. And those verses are very instructive for us, so I want to look at a few of them. But you can see in your notes our second point. Sound doctrine is not, it is not teaching that promotes ungodliness. It is not teaching that promotes ungodliness. 1 Timothy 6:3 and on, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. Those are heavy words. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy, Paul says, and for quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. When there is teaching that doesn't fit with what the Lord Jesus himself taught and what the apostles taught, what the New Testament teaches, when there is teaching that somehow encourages ungodly living, beloved, you must know that it's unhealthy. In fact, when you are hearing teaching that encourages you to be arrogant or selfish in any way, or to look down at others in any way, you have to know that that teaching cannot be good. It cannot possibly fit with who Jesus is if it encourages you to be puffed up and knock down others. Now, look, certainly sometimes it's not the teaching that promotes this arrogance, but our own sin. But often, especially even today, it seems to be built in as part of the foundation of so much teaching that we see. But there's more. Sound doctrine is not what people want, but what people need. It is not what people want, but what they need. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Beloved, you know that we as the elders of this church care for you. I love this congregation. I like us to laugh together. I like us to enjoy being together. But if you come here week in and week out, and all you are hearing and receiving is what you want to hear and what makes you happy, we're failing you. If you never feel the conviction of sin and feel the need to flee to Christ alone, we're failing you. If you walk out of here somehow thinking more about yourself and what you have accomplished or what you can or should accomplish, if all we do is build up your self-esteem instead of magnifying Christ and all he has accomplished, we're failing you. Someone from the congregation recently sent me a post from a Facebook group that she's a part of. And in it, a woman had posted that she and her husband were looking for a new church. And then they gave their requirements. Always dangerous, right? Not gospel-centered church, not biblically sound church. But here were the stipulations. Multicultural congregation, it's not bad. Female representation, depends on what she means. LGBTQ friendly. Now let me tell you, beloved, I wish this family would come to our church. And I believe that we must be not friendly, but truly, deeply loving toward every single person made in the image of God. Every single person, regardless of their views, regardless of how much we see differently. But somehow, I don't believe this would fit the requirement of this couple. Because biblical love says, speak the truth in love. But people today want to be told that what God calls sin is just us being authentic. I want to be in a church that tells everyone, we're okay, we're just on a journey. But beloved, we are not okay. That's why Jesus had to come. And it isn't friendly or loving to say otherwise. It isn't friendly or loving to lie to someone. If a doctor were to tell a person who they know is dying of a disease that, hey, you're fine, no need for treatment, we would sue him for malpractice and far worse. Itchy ears want to hear whatever they want to hear. I had an occasion, beloved, when an older woman in a church that I was preaching at complained that I had actually compared the sin of homosexuality to the sin of greed. And she wasn't happy with that. She sat me down and she said, how dare you treat those two sins as the same or together? And I said to her that she's right. I have no right to do such a thing. But the Apostle Paul does, and he does exactly that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Right? See, beloved, here's the thing. If our sin is greed, we want the teacher to say, no, that's just fine. It's capitalism. If our sin is of the sort of sexual immorality, we want the teacher to say, no, no problem. You do you. Both are wrong, beloved. Paul says to Titus, it doesn't matter what people want. Here's what God wants from you. Speak what accords with sound doctrine. Tell them the truth. It's what they need. Imagine, beloved, parents who parent their children according to what their children want rather than what their children need. Actually, you probably don't have to imagine very hard because the fruit of it is obvious all over the world, isn't it? And I'm not just talking about you millennials, others too. Okay. What is sound doctrine then? Here's our third point. Sound doctrine is, and this is something, by the way, we're going to develop over the next number of weeks, so we're going to give just a quick summary here. Sound doctrine is, A, our first point, Christ-centered. Sound doctrine is always Christ-centered. 2 Timothy 1:13, follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. We're developing this over the next few weeks, like I said, but there is no question that Christ is the center of biblical teaching. Jesus himself explained to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, the scriptures point to him. All biblical teaching needs to point to Jesus. Old and New Testament point to him. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Paul's entire ministry developed in the book of Acts and even the other apostles in the book of Acts all focused on one thing, to show and reveal Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Remember, we've said it again and again, the key question that every human being must ask and answer is, who do you say that Jesus is? The one fundamental question. But there's more. Sound teaching is Christ-centered, but it's also grounded in the gospel of hope. All faithful, healthy teaching is grounded in the gospel of hope. Titus 1:2, we already saw that a few weeks back. In hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. All sound teaching is grounded in the gospel, the good news of eternal life in Christ. It's not grounded in what we do. It's not grounded in how we are to do good works and earn God's favor. It's not in self-help guide to living. All sound teaching highlights the promise of God's grace that though we are sinners, though we are by nature children of wrath, deserving of God's punishment, there is hope because Jesus has paid the price. He has done the work. He has accomplished all that we need. That's why teaching that tries to add to the gospel, like we saw last week in Titus, is such a problem. If we believe that Jesus has already finished the work, what more can we add? Nothing. Instead, we hear and receive, we trust, we give thanks, and we live in certain hope of all that God has promised. And if we add anything, in fact, we're taking away from it. But there's more to what Paul wants Titus to know about sound teaching. It's Christ-centered, it's grounded in the gospel of hope, and it is, lastly, teaching that features the Savior. Teaching that features the Savior. What do I mean? Look at verse 10 of chapter 2, if your Bibles are open. Titus 2:10. I know we're going to cover this in depth in a couple of weeks, but here is the purpose for which the healthy living that the healthy teaching leads to is meant. Paul writes, "So that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior." So we circle back to the first point. Healthy teaching leads to healthy living, and that healthy living highlights the glory of the Savior. It adorns the doctrine of God as Savior. It attracts people. That's what that word adorn refers to. It attracts people to God who saves and redeems because our lives reveal something of the very goodness of God. In fact, the way Paul explains it in 2 Corinthians 2, we are trophies of the grace of God spreading the fragrance of the knowledge of him. All sound teaching actually features the saving glory of Christ. All sound teaching highlights Christ. All sound teaching makes us not the center, but the trophies of the one who has earned us, Christ. In fact, our lives have to be built upon the foundation of the true gospel that says, rest in all Christ has done, believe in him, and allow his Spirit to bear fruit in you. So people see our lives and are drawn not to us, but to our Savior. They see hardened hearts softened. They see those once hateful now loving even their enemies. They see those at first so confident in themselves now humble before a glorious Savior, fully dependent upon him. There's so much more to say, so much more, but there's more to get to in this service as well. We're going to continue in this passage next week, but I want us to be encouraged. We fight false teaching with truth. We silence wrong views with the right view of Christ. And sound teaching leads to healthy living, which leads to Christ being magnified. By his grace, this is who we are. So let us rest in it. Will you join me in prayer? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for all that you have done, the riches of your goodness, of your grace and glory. We thank you that your truth sets the foundation. Your gospel is what our lives must be built upon. We're grateful that that gospel is the work you have done that we could never do. Continue to build us, strengthen us, fill us with your Spirit, and guide us as we walk with you for your glory and by your grace. Amen.